Will Aaron Rodgers be surpassed as the NFL's highest paid player? And who's the next member of the Green Bay Packers to receive a contract extension? To discuss these topics, we welcome onto the show Corey Jennerjohn of CheeseheadTV.com. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. It's that dead time of year between mini camp and the start of training camp. Hope everybody's enjoying their 4th of July week, whether you have vacation or still waiting for the weekend. Regardless, there is no off season here at Railbird Central. We're talking some Packers football. And to do so, we welcome a guest onto the show today, Corey Jennerjohn of CheeseheadTV.com. He is our
expert interview.
Corey joins us on a pre-recorded segment. We talked just last night, so I think the topic is rather timely. We discussed several contract and financial issues on the Green Bay Packers roster. And, well, you can hear for himself. Here's our interview. Joining us now on Railbird Central this Wednesday morning is Corey Jennerjohn of CheeseheadTV.com. Corey, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show is kind of introducing you and the rest of the writers that migrated over from AllGreenBayPackers.com, AllGBP.com to Cheesehead TV. So welcome into the fold. And how's the transition been going for you?
First of all, thanks a lot, Brian. The transition has been awesome. I mean, it's great to be welcomed into such a nice, you know, Packers blogging, writing, podcasting community. I mean, obviously, Cheesehead TV is arguably one of the preeminent, you know, Packer blogs on the internet. And to kind of just join forces with Cheesehead TV is, honestly quite an honor.
Very good. Well, glad to have you on board. Glad to talk to you and Thomas Hobbs and Jeff Albrecht over the past few weeks. You know, just before we get into a little Packers talk, I kind of like to start sometimes. How did you become a Packers fan? If you, I understand you could probably maybe go on for that for a half hour, but, you know, just a brief introduction to a new audience here.
Actually kind of dates back to the first Lambeau Leap game. It was
okay.
Around when the Roy Butler took the pitch back from Reggie White. I remember I was at my cousin's house, and they had an extra pair of tickets, and they asked me, "Hey, do you want to go to the game?" And my parents were there, and they're like, "Just remember, it's going to be really cold." I'm like, "Ah, you know, whatever, it's going to be fine." So I go to the game. The game was really super cold, and I go to the game. You know, I had a snowboard suit on, whatever. I remember turning around. And there was an old couple that brought, you know, a little jar of whiskey, you know, just doing shots. And they had icicles on their icicles on his mustache. And I just remember that. And I remember that. And I remember the pitch back from Reggie White when Roy Butler jumped in the stands when they played the Raiders. And I was like, wow, this game is awesome. And it kind of just, you know, grew from there.
Very good story. Well, let's talk about the current Packers team a little bit here. To kind of guide us into the discussion here, you recently published an article at CheeseheadTV.com, more or less saying that you don't think Russell Wilson deserves to be the top played player in the NFL. Media reports have kind of come out saying he wants top dollar, more or less. For the sake of playing devil's advocate, because I don't really think you got to convince a lot of people, you know, listening to this show, but why doesn't Russell Wilson deserve more money than Aaron Rodgers?
Well, first of all, I know that I probably ranked with a lot of Badgers fans when I wrote that.
But a lot of Badgers fans are Packers fans too. So
that's true. Yeah, but I know that he really hasn't proved anything. Just to kind of put it in perspective, Brian,
he did win a Super Bowl.
I know. Just as a quarterback. I mean, just to put it in perspective, the now retired Kyle Orton. He only played 12 games last year. But it's funny because Kyle Orton only attempted 5 less passes than Russell Wilson. He really doesn't throw it that much. I know that they rely on his legs a lot, and they rely on Marshawn Lynch, and he also has one of the best defenses in the league. So basically, Russell Wilson's job is to not turn the ball over, be smart with the football, and just keep getting first downs. And not that those things are bad, but Russell Wilson really isn't asked to take a lot of chances, unlike Andrew Luck, who's asked to take a ton of chances in Indianapolis, and the Colts are still very successful. So just to kind of equate it on both sides, I don't know, and to think of it another way, if you put Aaron Rodgers, if you take Aaron Rodgers off the Green Bay Packers and put Russell Wilson on the Packers, I think the Packers are, I don't want to say terrible, but I think they're an average team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this whole league is predicated on quarterback play. And I know he's been to the Super Bowl twice. He's a very good leader. He's very intelligent, but he just hasn't shown me enough on the field to get that high enough dollar mark yet.
So, kind of continuing the discussion about monetary values here, how long can Aaron Rodgers realistically hold on to the title of the NFL's highest paid player? Because with the salary cap increasing, it would seem to be a difficult title to hold on to. Somebody's going to, pass him up eventually.
Yes, I agree. And that person is probably going to be Andrew Luck. But this is probably going to come across as very glib, Brian, but as long as Aaron Rodgers' mind lets him, the reason that Rodgers is so absurdly good isn't because of his arm or his legs. I mean, granted, his arm is amazing. He can hit that 40-yard pass on the run with such accuracy, but it's because of his photographic mind that allows him to categorize plays and games that makes him virtually unstoppable. I mean, I don't think, maybe Peyton Manning, but I don't think there's anybody else in the NFL that has a mind like Aaron Rodgers, and that really sets him apart. And when that starts to falter, or when he's not able, or when he can't remember nearly as well, is when he's going to start to take a couple of notches down.
Speaking of salaries here, do you think Clay Matthews is living up to his contract as the highest paid linebacker in the NFL?
That's actually kind of funny you mentioned that, because I wrote about that very thing last August for LGBT. I titled the piece, We Have Seen the Best of Clay Matthews, and I kind of focused on how much his injuries were slowing him down and how that would affect his future. Obviously, that it got a lot of interesting comments both ways, positive, negative.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, the wrinkle is the move to inside linebacker last year. As he tallied 8.5 sacks last year, and I think that's where he's most viable on defense. I mean, I think that's where he can make the biggest impact as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed last year that's where he can make the best impact statistically as well. So, and last year, injury wise too, I mean, last year was the first year of Matthew's career that he started all 16 games. I mean, that's kind of hard to believe. I mean, this is NFL All Pro, and he hasn't started all 16 games of his career yet. But with that said, I mean, I hate to bring this up, but Brian, with that said, how does the highest paid linebacker come out of the game in that critical spot in the NFC Championship game? Those are questions that will never be answered. But I mean, if you really want to be the highest paid NFL linebacker, you got to be in those kind of spots.
Yeah, that is kind of a curious thing that he's never really had to answer to, or, you know, has kind of just kind of gone in the back burner, I suppose, with so many other mistakes that happen. But that is a good point. Kind of continuing the discussion about linebackers here, were you surprised the Packers didn't attempt to renegotiate the contract of Julius Peppers, seeing as he now in 2015 has a salary cap figure of $12 million? It was very reasonable last year, but it takes a huge jump now in 2015.
I'm going to say, first of all, yes and no. Yes, obviously yes, because that's the money that, you know, that money the Packers would love to have and reinvest, obviously, for another, you know, to make a run another championship.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I'm not surprised is because the Packers, they want to reward Peppers with that great season he had last year. I mean, he played out of his mind. I mean, he was able to outrun a receiver in that Vikings game. Like, mm-hmm. It was unbelievable when he picked off that. I mean, I was like, really? Yeah. He's going to take that to the house? I still can't believe that. I mean, he was a freak. But the Packers could also look at it from another angle as well. They could, you know, in order for the Packers to bring in free agents, as well, you know, veteran free agents, this could be a microcosm. If other free agents looked at this and saw that the Packers were unwilling to pony up for Peppers, maybe perhaps a veteran free agent down the road would have been like, hey, you know, I'm just going to bypass Green Bay because,
yeah,
you know, they really don't take care of their veteran free agents very much, so I'm not even going to give them a second chance. Maybe this is kind of the Packers' way of saying, maybe kind of just, you know, I don't know, reinvesting in their veteran free agency pool, I guess you could say. I mean, yeah, it's like, well, we're going to take a hit now, but we're kind of helping ourselves out, you know, down the line a little bit, I guess.
That is a really interesting thought, one I haven't heard anybody express before, but it does kind of make sense to me, seeing as, you know, Julius Peppers at least pretty much earned that money with his play last year. We're talking to Corey Jennerjohn of CheeseheadTV.com here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Looking ahead to future contracts, what do you think happens with Mike Daniels? Do you think he'll receive a contract extension soon, or do you think he'll wait until free agency or shortly before the start of free agency, kind of like Randall Cobb and Brian Bulaga did a few months ago?
In terms of the Packers, they have to sign him soon, mainly because...
But you know, it's not just their choice, though. I mean, Mike Daniels can wait if he wants to.
Yeah, he can. But Daniels is easily the best player in the defensive line. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got, you know, obviously, B.J. Raji. He's a complimentary piece at best at this stage of his career. Latroy Guyon, Packers, I know they're bringing him back, but they really don't know what to have in his off-the-field behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And Dayton Jones, I mean, that's one of the biggest question marks on the whole team. I mean, alongside, you could probably put him in the same bag as Nick Perry. But, I mean, I don't know what he's going to bring. I mean, obviously the Packers don't either. Mike Daniels is actually a proven commodity. I know that he – and the cool thing about Mike Daniels is he kind of worked himself up. I mean, here he's kind of more or less a no-name from Iowa, a fourth-round pick. And he really looks good. I mean, he played really well last year, and he's not afraid. And what I really like about him is he's not afraid to get dirty. He's a guy that he knows going in that he's not going to rack up a lot of statistics. And his main role is to just plug up holes and let the linebackers do their job. I think that's exactly the kind of guy that the Packers got to lock up.
Casey Hayward is another interesting case for a guy whose contract expires after the 2015 season. I doubt he's a candidate for an extension, you know, like right now or right before training camp. But what type of contract do you think he'll command by next offseason?
Well, actually, it's funny. Like I wrote for today, at CheeseheadTV.com, I think Hayward is just running out of time. You know, he's fine 1 year, hurt the next, you know, fine 1 year. You know, this year he's been held out of OTAs and minicamp. He's got to come to camp like gangbusters and prove to, you know, cornerbacks coach, Joe Witt, that he should be the starting corner. I mean, obviously, all signs point to the fact that he probably will be the starting corner, but, you know, everybody, you know, that's kind of yet to be seen. I mean, if if you haven't really done anything in the off-season workouts, you know, OTA's minicamp, there really isn't anything on you yet. So, I mean, he's really got to prove a lot. And if he plays well, you know, injury-free, I could see him signing a middle-of-the-road deal with another team. But I don't see him coming back to Green Bay, mainly because of the fact that the Packers drafted two very athletic defensive backs this past draft. And I think, you know, their main goal was to, you know, put those two guys in after this year, after Hayward's done. I think that was the whole philosophy behind that.
Yeah. Kind of coming back to Aaron Rodgers, I know we talked about him before, but taking a different direction here. He made some headlines earlier this week. He was pictured side by side with his girlfriend, Olivia Munn, apparently helping her train for her next movie. Do you see any problem with what he's doing, running around in Hollywood circles, you know, maybe not focusing on football right now, at least?
No, I mean, well, the only time, you know, it's really a problem is when he's working on a sword fighting. No, I'm just kidding. But that was terrible. No, but I would say no, because these guys really have a limited window where they can actually, you know, take a breath and, you know, do it. I'm not saying you should put on your Johnny Manziel hat and go to Vegas and have a pool full of strippers, but, or I'm not saying that he should get in a bunch of 3-on-3 basketball tournaments, because that would be awful as well. But, you know, simply practicing sword fighting with, you know, a girlfriend, you know, what's the harm in that? I mean, but what kind of role is she playing anyway? Goodness gracious, sword fighting? Like, I don't.
Yeah, is she in one of the, is it the Avengers movies? X-Men?
Oh, okay.
X-Men? I don't. I'm playing devil's advocate more or less than anything. I think it's fine, too, especially the week of the 4th of July here when every player's on vacation. But one last question for you here, Corey. The NFL Network's top 100 list continues on Wednesday evening. Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson have yet to be listed. Where do you think these guys deserve to be ranked on this list?
Well, Rodgers deserves to be in the top three, right alongside Andrew Luck and Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And Nelson.
What about J.J. Watt?
J.J. Watt is such a tough one. I know that everybody brings him up, and I really think that the Texans probably would have went a lot farther in the postseason if they don't draft Clowney. I think that should be pretty much abundantly clear. If they go quarterback in that draft, I think the Texans are in much better shape. But yeah, I mean, J.J. Watt is a disruptor. I think what the problem now for the Texans is they really have to figure out what role J.J. Watt is. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a tight end kind of last year. He obviously was a defenseman. I mean, what is he? I mean, how what's the percentage of offensive snaps that he's going to play? I mean, mm-hmm. is he playing both ways? I mean, what? And obviously, if you're playing that much on offense, how much is that going to be a detriment to his, obviously, his number one position on defense? So, mm-hmm. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm kind of getting on a tangent. But, yeah, he's right there as well. But I was not in that camp when I thought that he should have been an NFL MVP.
Yeah.
No, I didn't think so. And Jordy Nelson, I think he should go in the high teams. But the craziest thing is at the bottom. I mean, how credible is this list, Brian, when – you know, Randall Cobb drops all the way to number 100. Like,
yeah.
What? How crazy? That's crazy talk right there. I saw them. I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was your reaction?
No, I'm right there with you. That apparently, from what I'm told, this is voted upon by the players, and I don't think they really think very hard about it. I think if you were to have something that is deserving, you would have, like, personnel executives try to rank them, or I know ProFootballFocus.com comes out with their own kind of top 100 ranking that's probably even better than this. And yeah, Randall Cobb that low is ridiculous. He was listed below a kicker.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, really?
Well, Corey, is a good conversation here. Glad to have you on the show. Glad to have you at CheeseheadTV.com. Hope you enjoyed it, and look forward to what you're going to be producing in the future.
Hey, thanks for that, Brian. Always a pleasure.
All right, take care. All right, that was Corey Jennerjohn of CheeseheadTV.com on a Wednesday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well as we continue on with the rest of our show.
Packers news of the day.
Here on a Wednesday, the biggest storyline over the past 24 hours in the world of the Green Bay Packers was Brett Favre appearing on the cover of Sports Illustrated, the publication announced yesterday, taking to social media and providing a little bit of extra content on their website that does not appear in the print publication. And one kind of line that got a lot of attention yesterday was Brett Favre saying he still thinks he could play. And of course he would say that. Brett Favre could not play in the NFL anymore. I think this is now going into the fourth season away from the game for him. And to think he could actually play football at, you know, what, 40 years old, I think he's kidding himself. Or at least if he did play, he would now be a shell of his former self or what he was in his prime or even late in his career. I do say this in after watching just last week, you know, the Canadian Football League just started up their season and it catches your attention, their season opener, and happened to watch, I think it's the Ottawa Red Blacks and who's on the roster, but 40-year-old quarterback Henry Burris, who actually backed up Brett Favre for one season in Green Bay. I think it was 2001, something like that. goes to show you how long ago he was in the NFL and still plugging away in the Canadian Football League. But that being said, there's quite a difference between the Canadian Football League and the NFL. I think Henry Burris is probably on his last legs, and I think Brett Favre would be too if he were to still try to attempt to play. Regardless, that remark kind of got a lot of attention here as he continues to get a lot of attention in the run-up here to his induction into the Packers Hall of Fame. This upcoming summer, Favre was pictured on the cover of Sports Illustrated wearing old number 4 Packers jersey. First time he's worn that in something like 7 years. I forget that figure off the top of my head. But so that kind of got trending on Tuesday in the world of the Green Bay Packers. But one other newsworthy item, I guess, that kind of came out yesterday was that the according to ESPN.com and one of the pieces featured at their insider content was that Green Bay was ranked number 1 on their future power rankings list, and kind of differs from your, you know, week to week power rankings where you're, you know, ranking the NFL teams 1 to 32 based on how good you think they are, whether you think they can win the Super Bowl or whatever your criteria is. But as opposed to that, this future power rankings, and they only do this once annually, I think, it's kind of how you project a team to be over the course of the next 3 years. So how well are they set up for the future? And that's, you know, really good thing to hear from a team that you cheer for, you follow, to hear that people think they're going to be the preeminent team in the NFL for the foreseeable future. I mean, that's a great thing, and I hope it's very accurate. Now, that being said, this is the opinion of 3 experts at ESPN. I know John Clayton was one of them. I forget who the other 2 are off the top of my head. I mean, people who know the NFL, but it still is a very small sample size of people. But they did try to go through, you know, the rosters of every team in depth, and they kind of graded them based on, I think, 5 different characteristics, being the front office, their history of drafting, or you know, how they think that drafts will pan out, coaching, the quarterback position, and then the roster, the entire roster apart from the quarterback position. And the Packers received very high marks in all those categories, especially quarterback, where Aaron Rodgers was ranked, I think, in the 98th percentile. He got the highest grade, and the lowest that the Packers got was for their coaching. And that's pretty remarkable that, you know, a coach, Mike McCarthy, who's won a Super Bowl, is kind of considered the weak link, so to speak. It's not just Mike McCarthy. It's the entire coaching staff. And, you know, had the Packers not been forced to, you know, fire a coordinator this offseason and reshuffle some of the duties on the offensive side of the football, you know, maybe they're not in this position or have that low of a grade as far as coaching goes. But regardless, good that the Packers ranked number one overall. Apparently last year the Packers ranked number two and the Seahawks were one. And then this year the Packers leapfrogged them. So continue to make their move up in the NFL and how they're perceived and how people think they'll do in the future. So I just thought that was interesting and notable. Just the opinion of a few people in one news outlet, but interesting nonetheless.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Wednesday, the team confirmed via their official website, Packers.com, that a player from their roster will be revealed on Wednesday evening's episode of the Top 100 Players of 2015 list. So, yes, a Packers player will indeed be named tonight. And this is the episode in which they reveal the players ranked number 20 through 11. They do 10 players per episode. Basically, you know, once a week, happens every Wednesday for about, you know, 2-3 months or so until they get through the top 100. So we're getting near the end here. And this Packers player, the next one to be announced, will be the fifth player overall. So far, the players that have been ranked are Randall Cobb, and we talked about him earlier, how ridiculous it was that he came in at number 100 overall. Regardless, Julius Peppers was ranked. I think he was like 71, something like that. Eddie Lacy was ranked at number 60. Or give or take one or two there, and linebacker Clay Matthews at number 51, I think the number was. And the next Packers player to be revealed will be the fifth overall from the Packers roster, and almost assuredly this player is going to be wide receiver Jordy Nelson, just because A, you assume, you know, Aaron Rodgers hasn't been revealed yet, but you got to think he's going to be in the top five, top three, probably, maybe even the top one. Perhaps the reigning NFL's MVP will come in number one overall. But you know, Jordy Nelson, of course, if he hasn't been revealed yet, it's coming soon. And I think, you know, he probably is very deserving of where he's going to come off the board, probably somewhere in the teens here. I really think it's remarkable what Jordy Nelson did last season. I cite the statistic a lot because I don't see other people citing it, and I think it's remarkable. Jordy Nelson this past season became just the eighth player in NFL history to have 95-plus receptions, 1,300 plus receiving yards, and 13 plus touchdowns in one season, one regular season. Only the eighth player in history to put up those kind of numbers. So I think that's pretty darn good. And I realize, you know, in today's passing age in the NFL, that it's probably devalued a little bit. That maybe doesn't, you know, quite hold the same cachet that it did, you know, several years ago. Had you put up those kind of numbers, and, you know, when Jerry Rice was playing the game in that era, I guess. But regardless here, what Jordy Nelson did last year was remarkable. I think he's a great player. I think he's very worthy of being, you know, coming off the board in the teens here. I think he's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. And good to see him recognized so highly here after being named to his first Pro Bowl, in fact, this past season. And you know, sometimes, you know, being named to the Pro Bowl, you don't always get that nod when you deserve it. And you could have certainly made the argument that Jordy Nelson deserved to be voted into that in previous years as well. But good to see him recognized tonight. I mean, Josh Sitton hasn't been revealed yet either, but we talked about that the last episode with Aaron Taylor. Josh Sitton probably deserves to be ranked in the top 100 list, but I doubt it's going to happen for an offensive lineman, for a guard, to be revealed in the top 20 of the NFL list. Basically, the guys you're going to get from here on out are the fantasy football guys, the skill position players, and then some of the very top defenders in the NFL, like J.J. Watt. I honestly haven't looked, you know, very, very closely at the list and see who else is, you know, still hasn't been revealed in the top 20 yet. But Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson yet to come here. Aaron Rodgers probably, so we're waiting until next week then, because only come out with 10 players a week. So number 10 through number 1 next Wednesday at this time. So looking forward to that then. But that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here on a Wednesday morning. Thanks to Corey Jennerjohn for being our guest on the show. Actually have a guest lined up for Friday's episode. We'll be talking to Andrew Buchholz, who covers the Canadian Football League. I thought that would be appropriate here at this time of year when the NFL is basically on vacation, to kind of take a look at a league that's currently now started their regular season, take a close look at them, some former Packers players who are currently in the league, and just, you know, some issues and the relationship between the Canadian Football League and the NFL. I thought that'd be interesting to kind of take a look at here, here now that we are actually officially in July as of today. So looking forward to that. We'll see you later, folks. My call to action, as always, if you've not done so already, please give us a ranking on iTunes. It helps us get the word out about the show. This show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywalls. One small thing we ask in return: give us a rating. Helps get a word out about the show, helps us out, and we get more listeners that way, and that's ultimately what we want. We'll see you later, folks. Have a good Wednesday. We'll see it again in 2 days. Railbird Central airs every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, on demand, pretty much any other time later in the day after that. We'll see ya. I leave you today with a song called Tinderbox by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack. Go.